This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey everybody, Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, May 24th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're all apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours, the other 19 and a half. Your responsibility. Hope you had a good weekend. Boy, what a great sports weekend. What a great sports day yesterday. And there seemed to be just, I don't know if you guys felt it, but a sense of normalcy yesterday. It was about sports. It wasn't about anything. I mean, you watch an unbelievable Phil Mickelson victory and people are pouring onto the green. And you watch the Garden, the game at the Garden, and 15,000 place was like emptying everything out of its lungs that was there for 14 months. Yankee Stadium only had 14,000, but very energetic 14,000. On Saturday, you had the Nets and a very lively crowd at Barclays Center. So we could actually just talk about sports today, and obviously the starting off point has to be the New York Knicks with a disappointing 2-point loss to the Atlanta Hawks. And I don't think it should be a surprise to anybody. We said the Hawks were good. We said they're going to battle. We said this wasn't going to be an easy cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. And if you want to look at the positive side, I'll give you the positive side before we break it down. Julius Randle and RJ Barrett were not good. They lost by 2 points.
Right.
So you would assume that they're going to be better. And can Trae Young be much better than he was yesterday? Probably not. I think the Knicks will come up with something to try to stop him. So I think the Knicks are okay. Obviously, you'd like to take both at home. Puts a lot of pressure on winning game two. Let's be honest. You don't want to go to Atlanta down 2-0. So you win game two, and you know then it becomes a best-of-five series, and you still have home court advantage. And you don't have home court advantage after that. You have to win one in Atlanta, and you take it back. So, yeah, was I disappointed? Sure, I was disappointed. I'm not devastated. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the series. And I think it serves notice to everybody. The Hawks are no pushover.
Well, I don't want to. This is like, this doesn't take rocket science. I think, Michael, every time you asked me about the series last week, I kind of said the same thing, which was that I could absolutely picture the Hawks winning that series. And what we got yesterday was just a bit of a reality check. Not that anyone thinks the Knicks are the best team in basketball, but didn't you get the sense from the way people talked about it locally? It was almost like a foregone conclusion the Knicks would win this series. This is a very even series. And we all agreed that probably the best overall talent on the floor every night will be Trae Young. And why did they lose yesterday? Sure, you could point to the fact that Randle in particular, but Randle and Barrett were not at their best. But ultimately, at the end, in the fourth quarter, the best player on the court is who won that game for the Hawks.
Yeah, because what do they always say? Your best players have to be your best players. And I thought Young and Bogdanovich were. And when you look at the Knicks, Randle had 15 points, right? What was this, plus minus or minus five? And that's not going to cut it. Now, the good news is you're going to get better from Randle, you would think, and you still almost won the game. So I think that's the difference. Their stars came to play. I think Young was great, and Randle wasn't. And yet it took a game-winning shot with 0.9 seconds to go to lose the game. So that's how I'd choose to look at it. Now, it puts a lot of pressure on game two. You are not winning this series losing game two.
Yeah, that's a big hole.
Well, losing the first two at home and then have to, you know, go out there and win four of the next five with three games in Atlanta, very, very difficult to do. Not impossible, but I would say for me it would be close to impossible to do. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to bounce back and Randall's going to be Randle and they're going to win the game. So if you had got blown out, Peter, by 30 points and Randle didn't play well, you'd say, oh, well, even if Randle plays well, it may not be enough. Randle plays well, they win. And maybe they win the game going away. So if you're going to get more than 15 from Randle, I think you're good. If this is what Randle's going to be, you're in tough shape. So this is what happens with stars, right, Michael? Now you got to come to play, and we'll see if he can be a better player. And I would suspect he would be.
And it defines what the playoffs are about, because you can go from sitting on top of the world right before the series starts. You get the first game on your home court stolen from you. And, guys, if we end up at the end of the game in the kind of situation we were in yesterday, can you imagine the nerves in the Garden? And the pressure that you'll have on a guy like Julius Randle or whoever it may be. I mean, they had that. Of course, they had a look with 0.9 seconds left and inbound from their past midcourt. Terrible inbounds pass, didn't even get a shot off. All of a sudden, when you lose that first game, when you get to the end of game two, to Don's point, that is an immense amount of pressure because you can't go down 0-2.
Now it's hard to really play the narrative that it was their first playoff game because it was also Trae Young's first playoff game. But people handle different situations differently. And it looked like the moment was a little bit large for Randle and for R.J. Barrett. And I think the Knicks benefited this year. You guys might disagree with me 1,000%. I've never brought this up. They benefited. Being a team that's young, they benefited by having nobody in the stands, at most 1,980 people. This was big-time, big-boy basketball yesterday with 15,000 people just screaming as loud as they could. Friends of mine that were there say it was as loud as any time they've ever heard the Garden. That's how loud it was. And maybe it got to them. Maybe they needed to experience that, and now you go to game two, it's a little bit of a different feel, been there, done that, and now you could recalibrate the way you think that you're going to handle it. But Julius Randle, 6 years in the league, had never sniffed a playoff game. R.J. Barrett's just 20 years old. He'd never been in a playoff game in his 2 years with the Knicks. A very few people did. Derrick Rose has. Derrick Rose played well. Alec Burks played well. Now, one thing that I would there's a couple of things I'd like to pick apart here. We had on Thibodeau the other day, and he is so committed to Elfrid Payton, right? So committed. Well, Payton played 4 minutes in the first quarter and 4 minutes in the third quarter. You're just doing this to flex. You don't believe that he's your starting point guard anymore. If you're taking him out after 4 minutes and you don't return him again until halftime, it's all an act. It's all for optics. He's not your starting point guard. You've done this for the last 2 weeks of games. He's in there and he's taken out. That's one thing I wanted to point out. The second thing is you bring in Ntilikina at the end to guard Young. Ntilikina is a defensive specialist. The one thing that you can't let Young do is go right. You can't let him go right. So you guard his right, let him go left, because Ntilikina had help on the left. The help on the as Trae Young went to his right was Julius Randle, who could not slough off his man, who was waiting in the corner for the open three. So there was no help if he went right. So all you had to do was play him going right, and if he went left, then there was somebody right there to pick him up. And this is your defensive specialist. And you gave him a sniff at the end of the second quarter, and he stopped them then. And then Trae Young figured him out. Well, let me ask you this. If Elfrid Payton is a zero, like he's just not playing well, even though you like the guy and you want to dance with the girl that you brought, why aren't you starting Ntilikina? You're not getting anything out of Payton anyway. So let Ntilikina get into a defensive group. You've got to be able to stop Trae Young. You've got to be able to slow him down. That last play was a joke. There was no way there was nobody there for him. Why would you let him go right when all the defense was shifted for him to go left? It doesn't make sense. He crossed over four times before he finally got Ntilikina to lean. That was too easy of a shot in a big moment. And then Peter mentioned they couldn't get a shot off in 0.9 seconds. Well, that's inexcusable. I mean, there are teams that get a shot off with 0.3 seconds, 0.9 seconds. You should be able to catch, turn, and shoot. Nothing. They got nothing. They could not free up Randle. So if Randle's not free, get it to somebody else. Get it to Burks, whatever. But that was a terrible last-second shot to tie the game. He didn't get the ball up before the buzzer.
Now, how many times, and guys, I'm like a broken record here. How many months have we been saying they don't have an option at the end of games? We all hoped that Derrick Rose would become that. He's been great, but that's not what he is. And apparently they don't believe they have another option because they were doing everything to force it to Randle on the final play.
Yeah.
Even if he catches that, by the way, that's a borderline impossible spot for him to get a shot off. So they don't feel they have another place to go at the end of the game. And when you get to the playoffs, that is a really big problem.
And that's the one thing that's been missing with Randle this year, is that if he's the one guy, and yet he's not making those shots anyway. Now, getting back to what Michael said about the moment, like, Michael, you fed off of maybe just not used to playing in front of a full building like this. But maybe it's also, which is fine, because then you get it out of your way and then you're fine for game two. But it's also, now the role's reversed. You're not the little engine that could anymore. You know, you're not this great story. Now you're in a series that people are expecting you to win. I think Knicks fans really expect this team to beat the Hawks. This is the team you wanted. You've got home court advantage, or at least you had it going into the series. So now you're expected to win for the first time all year. That's a completely different mindset than being the team that's shocking the world. And now with Nate McMillan's comments before the series about everybody wants the Knicks to win, he has spun it now that the Hawks are now the underdog. The Hawks are the disrespected team. Now the Hawks can play that role, and maybe it suited them better for game one. Now we'll see how it goes on, Michael, but if it's just the building, well, then they'll be fine because they just sensed it. And they only lost by 2 points, so let's not freak out. But if Randle is now the leader of a team that's expected to win, that's completely different than being the leader of a team that nobody expects anything from.
Well, and then
that's going to be something that's, Peter, that's going to be very difficult to adjust to game two for.
And the crowd was clearly a part of yesterday too. I mean, we can't really tell the story of yesterday's game and not talk about the bleep you Young from the crowd.
Yeah.
And the fact that when Trae Young won the game, I mean, Michael, you must have enjoyed his vindictiveness, because he was catching it from the crowd all day long. He hits the game winner. And to the point you made about, Don, about, you know, no longer being the underdog and the Hawks seeing themselves as that, you could see on Trae Young's face when he was shushing the whole crowd that being at the Big Bad Garden in front of 15,000 people had the Hawks feeling like the world was against them. And then the fans leaned into it by cursing at Trae Young all day. And guess what? He shoved it right up the fans. You know what?
Right. Reggie Miller.
And now we go into tomorrow with Trae Young entering rarefied air as a true Garden villain.
Yeah, I didn't, as a Knicks fan, it really annoyed me. But I understood him doing it. But, you know, when he did that, though, then he has embraced being the villain. He's embraced being that guy. And they're going to give it to him even more tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to hear it like he's never heard it before. So if he thrives off that, if he derives strength from that, that's cool. But if it's something that could make him wilt, because it could get ugly tomorrow in the way they're going to treat him. If he thought it was loud yesterday, it's going to be deafening tomorrow. And the Knicks are going to have to be able to channel that and make it work for them as well.
And, of course, it's not tomorrow because it's the NBA playoffs. Isn't it Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
So the Nets are tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the 3-day thing. They don't ever want more than two games on TV in a night. They have threes, but they won't have four. So because they won't have four games on in a night, we end up sort of in that first-round slog of it's every few days.
Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Losing Nerlens Noel to that foot injury, that played a big role. All of a sudden, they were driving into the paint with impunity. That was a big deal. Reggie Bullock kind of disappeared. Didn't hit a shot. He was not a three-point threat. That was something that was going to happen as well. You didn't think it was going to happen. Burks was huge. 18 points in the fourth quarter, and they could not ride that performance for a guy off the bench to get a win. R.J. Barrett and Julius Randle shot terribly from three-point land. Derrick Rose did everything you'd want Derrick Rose to do. It might be time to take the limitations off Derrick Rose, make him your starting point guard, and just let him go.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, Elfrid Payton has not done it. So they were 10 for 30 from three-point land yesterday. That's not good. 44.7% overall. They turned the ball over 11 times, and it was equal points in the paint. Their bench did well, but their starters didn't. And you know what I did like? The moment was not too big for Quickley. And it was not too big for Obi Toppin, who really was a non-player for most of the season.
True.
And got serious minutes yesterday and just electrified the crowd with a windmill dunk. So that's good. That's a good thing for the future, a good thing for the future in this series.
There's so much good that happened here. I know they lost the game, and they lost it in heartbreaking fashion, but you didn't get a great performance from Randle. You know, you saw a lot of guys that came up big. that you didn't expect that got that experience. You lost the game by 2 points here, right? Bounce here or there, you win the game, you survive, and you're in great shape. So I don't think anybody should hit the panic button. I think you lose Wednesday, you do. Clearly you do. But right now there's a lot of good things that you could feel good about. That you, this, they were there. You know, so do you think that if Randall's going to play this way, then they're going to be in trouble. But you got to expect him to be better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if he's better, then you win the game.
He'd been great against Atlanta in the three games that they won. They had a good plan for him. Now Thibodeau, who is a film junkie, he's going to have to come up with ways to stop them and ways to free up Randall because they concentrated on Randall. Now, if other players were better, then maybe Randall can't have that much attention foisted on him. The Knicks have to figure that out. But, you know, Peter made a very salient point at the beginning. We said it from the beginning. This is not the team that you're going to root for in 2 or 3 years because they don't have enough. They have enough against the Hawks. And I love the narrative that's starting to creep in after one loss. You know, be careful what you wish for. The Hawks are pretty good. Well, if you didn't play the Hawks, you're going to play the Bucks. If you didn't play the Bucks, you're going to play the Nets. If you didn't play the Nets, you're going to play the Sixers. So the Hawks were the best one you could get in this first round. The best. That's the best way it could fall for the Knicks.
Yeah. And
now let's see them beat them.
Yeah, and you hate to lose at home, obviously, but it's only one game. And I don't think anybody, maybe there's some diehard Knick fan that thought they were going to sweep. I think we all thought this was going to be a 6 or 7 game series. So I don't think any of us just had it being, oh, the home team is going to win every game. So these are going to be moments that are going to happen. And if the sky is falling, Michael, then let it fall after you lose a game by two. Because, again, they and give Thibodeau the extra day, and he'll figure it out. And that's another reason why I think game two is huge, guys. Not just because you fall behind 2-0, losing your first two games at home, but if with the extra day, the extra day to prepare, to have a great coach tweak whatever needs to be tweaked, and then you still lose, then maybe you're just not good enough. But I'm not ready to say they are not good enough. It was just one tough game that didn't go their way. Now you make it a second one, then I think you're in trouble. But right now, no way.
All right, so a couple of quick hits on baseball. The Mets lose 2 out of 3 in Miami. Could have lost 3 out of 3, but they won a 12-inning game on Friday. I don't even know how they win at all. They're running a triple-A lineup, sometimes a double-A lineup out there. The only thing they have going for them is pretty good starting pitching, and that's a little short, too. Now, Jacob DeGrom returns tomorrow. But, Don, it's amazing the lineup they're running out there. And Cameron Maben, who's batting third, is like 0-for-16. So if they fall behind by a little, they're done. They're just done. They're not good enough to win.
They're not.
Still in first.
But they're not good enough to win because right now 75% of their lineup's from Syracuse or wasn't even on the team 2 minutes ago, right?
Right.
And yet the last two times they lost were on walk-offs. So they've been in the game. They've been hanging it just until last night, well, yesterday when they lost 5-0. And that was just because, you just had a couple of tough breaks in the first inning, and then everything kind of came together, and you put together a pretty decent performance after that. But they're not going to score; they're just not going to, not with the lineup that they have right now. So, give up 5 runs in the first inning, and that's it; you're done. But the other losses that they had were on walk off. Saturday was a walk off. The last game of the Braves series was the walk off on the Acuna home run. So they're hanging in. It's just that's not them. It's hard to judge them when. You don't even know any of these guys.
And they didn't have a good road trip. They were 3-6. But, again, nobody is running away with anything in the East, so they're in first place.
But even with what they have, the Rockies are terrible. So maybe they get a break here over the next few days. A lousy team comes in, and maybe things can even up. And just get wins. That's what you got to try to do.
Those are Diamond Notes on the Michael Kay Show, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. And again, as Don mentioned, a big thing for the Mets moving forward is that they will get Jacob DeGrom going tomorrow. But when you say the Rockies are a bad team, I'm sorry, and I'm not disparaging the Mets. The Mets, as presently constituted, are a bad team. They're a bad team with good pitching. Short, good pitching. Their bullpen's not short, but the starters are short. And also, again, fans just really, really do distinguish themselves. They really do. So Yamamoto pitched yesterday for the Mets, didn't pitch well, and people attacked his wife on Twitter. Ugh. It's unbelievable.
I didn't even know that. That's
oh, my goodness. I mean, he had to, like, write a long thing today. Please, you know, don't do that to my wife. That you'd even have to, like, warn people of that. But, again, people have social media muscles. They would never have the guts to say that stuff to somebody's face. but they feel emboldened by their anonymity, and they jump the woman who had nothing to do with the way her husband pitched. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. And I don't know if there's any solution to it, so I'm not going to sit here and cry about it.
No, I'm not even going to justify that those kind of comments. But for him, you know, going up against his old team, clearly it wasn't 100%. He was hurt, and you didn't get a lot of breaks. It was an infield single by the pitcher that led to the one run, right? They couldn't turn the double play, led to another. Well, they're going to lose the game anyway, but I really, people suck, honestly.
I mean, what else can you say?
He should have rested the extra day. He should have taken a long weekend and just had a nice, beautiful earth with nobody on it. When I hear that people do that, the gutless pieces of human trash, please, I dare, come to me and say that to an athlete's face and see what happens to you as your face gets crushed in. What a bunch of jerks. Don't even bring it. It's such few people, and they get off on the fact that it gets talked about. Just ignore them. They're bacteria. Have you ever seen bacteria? Have you paid attention to bacteria? Have you ever had a conversation with bacteria? Have you ever felt the need to respond to bacteria? No. That's how these people should be treated, like bacteria.
Well, you do respond to bacteria. You take medicine. That's Diamond Notes, brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2x London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, Westfield World Trade Center. Quickly, time for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Yankees sweep the White Sox. They've won six in a row. But the weird thing is the Red Sox keep winning, and the Rays have won 10 in a row, and they're leading the Blue Jays today. The Blue Jays come in tomorrow at the Yankee Stadium. It's just, the Yankees, I thought, played a great series. They're pitching 35 straight scoreless innings by their starters, starting with the Kluber no-hitter. And the Yankees have not scored a lot of runs. Now, yesterday they did, and on Saturday they scored seven. But they won a lot of those games, Don, just scoring two runs. And usually they lose games like that, but the pitching's been extraordinary.
And listen, it's a shorthanded team, but it's a really good White Sox team that the Yankees beat. And would anybody have ever had as their bet that Aaron Judge's first walk-off would be a walk?
Amazing. having, you know, when he's healthy, he's about as good as they come. He's never had a walk-off. That's amazing to me.
Well, it's also amazing that, you know, considering we learned from listeners in the last couple weeks that he stinks, and he's now batting
300. How come that guy hasn't called back, Peter?
Well, because now Judge has kind of settled into batting over 300, sitting at 308. I guess he doesn't feel that way anymore.
Maybe he just doesn't have access to the phone. The person that dials for him isn't available.
That's a good
interesting
point.
Now, one other thing I want to bring up. So the Mets are home today. We'll give you the starting lineup when we get it. And the Yankees were home yesterday and all weekend, and they had over 14,000. And I think that the limit was right around 15,000, just under 14,000. So they pretty much hit that. But here's what I don't get, guys. I'm watching the Knicks, and they're 15,000 plus at the Garden. I'm watching the Nets, and they're about 14,000 plus at Barclays Center. And the last I checked, and I could be wrong, I haven't been there in over a year, those places are indoors. So why are they allowed to have 90% capacity, and they're not allowing the Yankees and the Mets to have 90% capacity? It doesn't make sense. And New Jersey just announced today that starting on May 28th, all venues in Jersey will be 100% capacity. Why are they jerking around the baseball teams? Why can't the Yankees and the Mets have 45,000 people in their ballpark?
But didn't Dolan like find, I don't want to say a loophole, but was he a little bit more aggressive in?
He was aggressive with the vaccinations.
Well, maybe, but is that the difference?
No, because there's still a limit for outdoors about 33%. I don't get the limit. If everybody, it's now a free for all. We saw that at the PGA yesterday. It's a free for all, and you're going to stop outdoor venues from having as many people as they can. Hey, if the Yankees or the Mets announce, you know, 90% of our crowd is going to be vaccinated people, and those that don't want to be vaccinated, you'll have social distancing in the other 10% of the park. For the Yankees, that would allow them to have about 42,000 people. For the Mets, it would allow them to have about 35,000 people. Instead, you have the Knicks outdrawing the Yankees.
But there's got to be a reason for, like, it doesn't make any sense. They don't have anything against baseball. So what is it?
It is definitely, you know, I was checking it out yesterday trying to find the answer, and they said that's all that the government's allowing right now. So why is the government allowing a packed house, essentially, at the Garden, but you can only have 14,000 out of 50,000 seats at Yankee Stadium? It doesn't make sense.
I don't understand. I think it's what Don's talking about, though. I think it has to be aggressive moves that were made by Dolan that maybe the Yankees haven't looked into yet?
Well, let me tell you one thing, okay? I can't speak for the Mets. The Yankees have one of the smartest people that are running their team in Randy Levine with unbelievable government contacts. I can't believe that Dolan is more aggressive than Randy Levine. So I don't understand why they're tamping down on outdoor venues when those should have been open to capacity first.
That is 100% true.
Well, that's today's Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. All right, Knicks, that's on the docket. We'll talk about the Nets a little bit as well. But if you want to talk with us, 1-800-919-3776. Stephen A. Smith will join us at 4 o'clock, talk some basketball with him. A lot of upsets. Lakers lost. Oof. Nuggets lost.
Yeesh.
Don Portland did. Team won.
That's right.
Why do you like Portland so much?
I'll never say.
Okay. We'll be back.
I'll tell you what, if they win the championship.
You're going to say then?
The day of the parade, I'll announce it.
Wow. At the parade?
Well, I won't be at the parade.
Oh.
But the day of the parade, I'll. It's funny how many people come up to me and just beg me why.
Why the Blazers? Why?
Why?
Michael Casio on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie.
All right, trying to be as topical as possible. And how about top five Nick playoff villains?
All right.
You go. You take the cookie. You go.
All right. I'll take number one, Reggie Miller.
Yeah, it's not. It's hard not to have Reggie on there, especially his exploits against the Knicks in '95 in that conference final when the Knicks were trying to repeat as Eastern Conference champions, and the choke and getting into it with our buddy Spike Lee, Reggie Miller. Yeah, that's the cookie. That's number one.
There you go.
I'll go with Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan's got to be number two, right? Even though the Bulls were the superior team, just all those moments where you got a taste in those early 90s where you had a chance. And those were good Knick teams. They just couldn't get by the Bulls. And, of course, the big guy, the dagger thrower, was Jordan. So he is definitely number two.
All righty. Not going to lie, it gets a little harder after the top two. Can I ask you a question, Don?
Why not?
Are there any more Bulls on the list?
I do not have any more Bulls. Three different guys, three different teams.
Would you like me to take over here?
Hold on a second, pal. Pally.
Who are you taking out?
All right, fine. You get the next one.
Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah, Alonzo Mourning.
That's a good one.
Number three for everything that happened in 1998. April 30th, 1998. To be exact, the brawl, of course, Jeff Van Gundy hanging on his leg, getting into it with Larry Johnson and Charles Oakley, Alonzo Mourning, number three.
How about Grandmama, Larry Johnson?
No.
Stop it. Embarrassing yourself and your family.
I don't know.
And your family have bathed in your apartment.
It was a seven-game series.
I don't know if Don's knowledge of Knick history goes this deep, but Earl Monroe when he was with the Bullets.
I do not have that knowledge that deep. I'm sorry. Earl the Pearl. I know.
How about Jerry West?
Well, again, considered, I just didn't have anything specific other than they lost to the Lakers or
okay. Who you taking
went hard with the Lakers, all those big rivalries, but
I'm just throwing them out there, Donald.
No. I'm trying to defend myself in my Knick history.
I understand.
Man. How about No. How about Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, listen, very good.
But wrong.
I don't have him in the top five.
There's a few series there, but
I'll give you a hint. I have some recency bias in me.
Oh. How about Trae Young?
Yeah, well, that was the whole reason for the list. I didn't want to say it at the beginning to give it away, but and listen, it's only one game, guys, but considering the atmosphere and what was, you know, expected from the Knicks and in his treatment of the Knicks fans as soon as it was over, and we even related it to Reggie Miller when we opened the show, so maybe it's some recency bias, but I put him at five.
How about Hakeem Olajuwon?
You know, I thought about because it was that one series, right, in 94.
Yeah.
And he stood in the way.
Yeah.
But I didn't have him there because I just didn't. But I did think about it.
As long as you thought about it.
Who are you taking out? Well, you could take Young out, obviously, because it's not as meaning. One game, first game of the playoffs as opposed to a game seven in the finals. But there was a lot of Knick killers, including themselves in that series, by the way.
Well, then you could
John
say
Starks
John Starks
is not on the list.
Yeah.
Pat Riley for letting him shoot is not on the list.
So you have recency bias.
No, I did with Young.
Oh, that was it.
This one, I'll tell you what, this one is right in someone's wheelhouse.
Larry?
Yeah. I got Larry Bird at four. Now, 88 went four games, and he was great that entire series. But the one that Knicks fans think about was 84. Second round, Michael remembers this. They went seven. And Bird went off in game seven with 39. And Bird was great in that series as well. And the whole New York-Boston thing is why I figured I'd put Larry in there, Larry Bird, at number four. So Trae Young, five. Larry Bird, four. Alonzo Mourning, three. Michael Jordan, two. Reggie Miller, one. I'm sure Knicks fans will have disagreements. Have at it. But I wanted to be as topical as possible on a big day for the Knicks.
Wow, you gave Trae Young villain status after one game. I love it. Well, that is recency bias.
I admitted it, but
I get it.
How was he? Did he not own it?
He owned it.
I was all over social media last night, Michael. There was Knicks fans none too happy. I saw. I don't know if it's a meme, but I got to look up the actor's name from Ghost. Did he kind of look like? Did you see
His
that picture
Patrick
all over
Swayze.
Social media?
Oh.
No. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, I did see that.
He was also in The Godfather 3. You'd know him if you saw him, Peter.
Yeah, he's a great actor, but he wasn't blessed with good looks.
I'll say this. It's also sort of predicting of the future, Don, because if the Knicks continue to be a good team, this Trae Young Knicks situation will last for a while, and tomorrow and yesterday is not going to be forgotten no matter what happens.
If it was just the performance, I mean, it was a good performance, 32 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists, but his reacting to the crowd, he really owned it.
Let's listen to Trae. This is sure. After game one in the hallway.
It got real quiet in there. It's still yelling now. I don't care. Next one.
Be careful what you wish for, Trae. Listen up, Jet fans. 98.7 ESPN has your chance to meet the 2021 Jets draft class presented by Pepsi.
Oh.
That's right. You're invited to an exclusive virtual event this Wednesday, May 26th at 5 p.m. featuring the Jets 2021 rookie draft class hosted by the radio voice of the Jets, the legendary Bob Wischusen, and former Jets legend Bart Scott. Keep it locked in to the Michael Kay Show today. It's all brought to you by 98.7 ESPN, presented by Pepsi. Can you imagine? Bart knows there's no heavy lifting if Wischusen's involved.
I mean, he's just there just for eye candy.
Right.
Listen, a head nod only makes so much noise.
And maybe see, because now when you did the Clubhouse Confidential, you served as a point guard for A-Rod and Buster.
Hey, we got a lot of news out of that, right?
Yes.
How
the actor was
happened?
Don Novello. Was that him?
Who's that?
Don Novello. Was that the actor you're talking about?
Yes.
How
do you make that happen, Michael? You make that happen by letting everybody speak and have their say.
That's right. Ian Begley tweets, Tom Thibodeau said Nerlens Noel tweaked his ankle in game one, participated in some parts of practice today. Thibodeau said Noel should be fine, and Knicks would see how he's feeling tomorrow. All right, there's something that happened yesterday that wasn't in the Knick and Hawk game that could have a huge impact on the Knicks moving forward in their future.
Ooh.
I've intrigued some people now, haven't I? Yeah, we'll be back and tell you exactly what that is and how big it is. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, it's time now for today's Nick Report, brought to you by Insperity. And I go out to Salt Lake City. Donovan Mitchell was at the walkthrough for the first game between the Jazz and the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, he has been out since, I guess, April 16th with a right ankle sprain. So the rehab is taking a little bit longer than initially expected. And he was raring to go. And then the Jazz medical people spoke with Quinn Snyder, spoke with Donovan Mitchell, and said, no, you can't play. We don't want you to play in game one. So the number one seeded Jazz then proceeded to lose to the number eight Memphis Grizzlies in game one. And from all accounts, Donovan Mitchell is absolutely, quote unquote, incensed. So that is something that the Knicks have to watch very, very closely. Donovan Mitchell is from Connecticut. I believe he's from Greenwich. His dad works for the Mets. The Knicks skipped him over in the draft when they probably should have taken him. And if he says, I got to go, I want out, the Knicks would be the place that he probably wants to end up. Now, the one caveat in all this, remember the Jazz have a new partner in ownership, and that's Dwayne Wade, who has a really good relationship with Mitchell. But I'm not sure that Wade's friendship would stop Mitchell from saying, I want out. Remember, he was ticked off at Rudy Gobert. And at that point, people said, that's irreparable. But somehow they got together and had a really good season. Number one ranked team in the West. But what are they going to do if he says he wants out? Because the Knicks have the draft capital. They can make trades. They can put something together that would interest the Jazz. I'm not sure if the Jazz would give him up, but if he pulls what we like to call a Harden, that's something the Knicks have to look at, because the one thing the Knicks are missing is a player like Donovan Mitchell. So keep an eye on that, everybody.
Well, we said the playoffs could be big. Who gets ousted early? Who's disappointed with their coach's decisions or franchise's decisions? I mean, I understand where the Jazz are coming from, you know, because we freak out. Remember, LeBron lost game one last year against Portland, and it didn't matter. And I still think the Lakers can beat the Suns despite the fact that they lost game one. You hate to lose home court, but you know, if they're a good enough team to be the number one, I think they can overcome a loss, especially without one of their better players in the lineup. But that's what we talked about. All right. Right now we can't identify that player, but by the end of the playoffs we might be able to. And boy, it took 5 minutes for us to get one.
Yeah. This could be the guy, and that's the guy who fits perfectly. He's from the area, grew up a Knicks fan, and he's upset with the Jazz. So something to keep an eye on. I just thought I'd pique everyone's interest. That's today's Nick Report, brought to you by Insperity, providing employee benefits, HR technology, payroll, and scalable HR services for 30-plus years. Insperity HR, that makes a difference. All right, let's take some phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. Adam in Manhattan. Adam.
Don, Mike, Bart, I'm 37 years old. I've been a Knicks fan my entire life since the time I was seven.
And you know Bart's like not here, right? That.
Oh, apologies. Sorry about that. But, that's, I mean, it just seems like, you know, from the time when I was a kid watching the Knicks go against Hakeem Olajuwon, Michael Jordan, to right now in a much smaller scale with a stakes are smaller going up against Trae Young, you just always feel like I'm just tired of this little engine. That our ceiling is that little engine that could, you try so hard, but you're just not good enough. You just don't have that guy. And I'm 37 years old. Just one time for the one time, I just want us to have that guy, whether it's not on the other team. I don't want to be the villain. I'm tired of having villains come and terrorize us in our team, you know, at our arena, in our city. I want us to be the villain just one time. And it just, you know, it's just very frustrating in terms of, I mean, it just seems that this is the best version of ourselves. So it's a hardworking little engine that could. You try so hard. You're just not good enough. And
well, just, Adam, this is a absolutely ridiculous take.
Yeah.
They're the little engine that could. They were the little engine that was marooned in the train station for 8 years. They're taking baby steps. Are you out of your mind? You don't want to be that team? You hadn't been in the playoffs 7 lottery years. And now they're actually in the playoffs. They lose game one, and you're tired of being the little engine that could? Well, you got to be the little engine that could before you're the engine.
Well, yeah. We're still in the midst of this rebuild, okay? Now, it's been accelerated, but it's still not a finished product. That's a call you make 3 years from now.
Oh.
When they continue to get bounced in the first round and aren't doing the right things to take the next step. But this is what happens. This is the emotion that, yeah, everybody's now going to – I knew this was going to happen. Everybody's going to judge one game and now it's not working or I'm tired. Come on, give me a break. If you really thought this was going to be easy series, then you're not paying attention.
He also said Bart right away. You knew he was off center.
Right, that was it.
Don, Mike, Bart.
Now, what are you listening to? Some compilation from 12 to 6:30?
That's a lot.
A melange?
He's a big-time listener. And he just melds the entire station together.
He should have said hello to Rick and Dave and Chris and Greeny and Chris Carlin. And, oh, whatever. I'm tired of being the little engine I could. But, you know, being a lottery team, that's fine. But actually making the playoffs, now you're tired. You're just tired. I'm tired, too. Let's go to Evan in Teaneck. Evan.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How you doing?
Good. I gotta start off. I gotta be honest. I hate the Knicks. I my friends are big Knicks fans. Shuey, hate the Knicks. But I admire the process, the rebuild they've done. But Michael, I take exception to what you just said in terms of going after a guy like Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem. The media props up like the Knicks have to go after every big name. Donovan Mitchell just signed a 5-year, $195 million contract. The Jazz, as upset as he is with the Jazz are not trading into the Knicks. He's 24 years old, Michael. You can't, every single big name that comes up, you can't just throw out, oh, he's the next guy for the Knicks. They're building a good process, as much as it pains me. And I had told you, I hate the Knicks, but I just hate when the media, every big name that comes up, it makes sense for the Knicks.
I didn't just spin the wheel and say, let's go after Donovan Mitchell. What I'm saying, Evan, is that if Donovan Mitchell is unhappy in Utah, I don't care if he just signed a contract. We saw what that meant with the kid in
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson. What did that mean? He just signed a contract in September, and before all of his world came apart, he wanted to get out of Texans. He wanted to get out of Houston. So please, the Knicks have to go and get somebody. I like the process. The process is not going to procure you because you know what they've done now? They've gotten just good enough to get the 16th or 17th or 18th pick in the first round. Luckily, they're not going to be in a lottery anymore. So you're not going to get Zion Williamson. So the way that you increase your output exponentially is to go get a player that's unhappy where they are. I'm not saying, hey, why don't they go out and get Anthony Davis? Anthony Davis is not going to be available. He's not unhappy with the Lakers. Donovan Mitchell is unhappy in Utah.
Right. This is just a train of thought that Michael took because we've been saying because the free agent crop is not that great this year, that if they're going to find that big player, take a look and see who might be disgruntled, who might pull a James Harden situation in Houston.
What are people thinking? I like the process the way it is. So you're going to keep signing the Alec Burks and the Reggie Bullocks. And yeah, that'll make you a 45-win team in an 82-game season. Not going to make you a champion. You got to get that one great player. Sorry. And here's P.J. Carlissimo. He was on with Greeny, who asked him, is there an issue between Mitchell and the Jazz?
I've never sensed anything when I've had their games. Him and Quinn and his teammates always seem to be on the same page. Of course, you had the crazy Gobert incident, which seems a long time ago. What was it, March 11th? Mm-hmm. Of last year. I think he's back when their people, they obviously want him to play. The question is, how long has it been since he's practiced, since he's played? And they certainly need to get on the same page. But I to me, let's wait and see what happens. Let's see next game and let's see the team come out with a statement of some kind.
Well, whatever the case may be, it's been reported that he is quote unquote incensed that they didn't let him play. And by the way, the actor that the meme was about, Don, was the actor, the late Rick Avilas, not
yes.
Don Novello, as somebody said.
And that's
Don DeVello is Father Guido Sarducci, right?
I don't know. Last time I just said yes blindly, thinking that you knew, I ended up being wrong. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's always a bad thing to do.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Let's go to Billy. He's in Atlanta. Billy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I love the show. You guys are awesome. Keep up the good work. I'm not totally on board with the couple callers ago who said the little engine that could thing, but I get his point. I just think yesterday, guys, was such a big game. Like, because we've been like the laughing stock. Let's be honest here. Everybody does jokes about the Knicks nationally because I listen to all the shows, and whenever there's a Nick issue back then with Isaiah, with Phil, it was just a big joke. So now,
but it was a big joke.
Fans, exactly. So yesterday we're hanging on every basket, dude. Like since the beginning, and I saw that this team is kind of tight. If you guys notice it, they were in the moment as well. I think I agree with you guys saying that they're kind of in the moment. So hopefully, game two they settle down. You know what I mean? Like I think we're just anxious because we just been tired of being kicked around, and when New York basketball is good, I feel like New York's good. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's the feeling I got.
Well, I don't tie New York's standing with how the Nets or the Knicks do. That I don't agree with, but I think Don brought up a great point earlier. Yesterday's the first game that the Knicks played this year where they have expectations. And they can't say that they're playing with house's money. No. They made the playoffs. They're in the first round. They're playing the five seed. They're the home court advantage. They should be able to win this series. I'm not saying that they will. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. But now their expectations, playing with expectations, is a lot different than playing loosey-goosey with nothing to lose. Sorry. Huge difference.
Right. And now the role of underdog is the Hawks. Now, right. They're the nobody believes. That. What do you think the attitude from Young had? Oh, this is going to be a tough atmosphere, and he quieted everybody down. Now he's owning it. So things are fluid. Things change. I would expect a much better Knick team coming out on Wednesday. I think the extra day really helps them, and we'll see how they handle it. So, but that's a different adjustment. Teams always ride that wave of nobody cares. Every coach plays that angle, right? Of everybody's against us, the Nets are trying to play that. And now everybody's for you. You've got almost a full building cheering for you. Expectations are you're now going to win. It's a lot different. You're not flying under the radar anymore, at least in this city.
Let's go to Mike in Cedar Grove. Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's everything going?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. So I'm a Knicks fan, and one of the things that I liked from yesterday is, the electricity in the Garden, the expectations. Like the previous caller said, it's the first time in a while that we've actually been, playing for something. So tough loss, but we kind of knew what we were getting ourselves into. So that's one. The other thing that I like to mention is what Michael said about Donovan Mitchell. I think it's not a bad idea in terms of looking into the market whenever, a player becomes disgruntled with a team. My only concern would be, obviously, it would depend what we have to give up. If it's something that it would have to be, say, like R.J. Barrett quickly and two firsts, that might turn into something that would be based on if the player, how disgruntled he is with his current team, that we might be throwing a lot there. So, do our homework, of course. I'm all for it. If we could give away not the house, I would definitely be open to it. But if we're able to hold off, say, 2-3 years, let these guys develop, R.J.'s 20 years old. Quickly's 21, Julius is 26. So if we're able to get 3 more years and say a Devin Booker is up for free agency, or if Mitchell is up for free agency, those guys will still be in their prime. So, sign them off and keep building what we have.
Well, I like the way you're thinking. You shouldn't give up the ranch, but 3 more years with this team, they're going to be what they are. I'm sorry. I hate to pour cold water on things, but 3 more years seeing Quickly mature and R.J. Barrett mature, well, all of a sudden then you're pushing up against Randall being 30. No, that's not the route to take. And we saw that Jim Dolan is a little bit antsy. That's why John Davidson's back working for Columbus. He wants to win right away. Now, I'm not saying throw it all away and go get, aging superstars, but that's not what Donovan Mitchell is. The Knicks have to sit back and wait to see what superstar that's of a good age wants out. And then they have to pounce. Because if you just sit there and you're going to be patient, You're going to be a 45-win team for the next 3 years. You're going to get into the playoffs as the fourth and fifth seed, and you're going to lose in the second round. That's it. That is the ceiling for this team as presently constituted. They have a chance now to take the next step like the Nets did. The way the Nets were progressing, they were always going to be in the playoffs, never going to be a favorite, maybe knock off one team that they're not supposed to beat, but they're not going to win three series to get into the NBA Finals. So they laid the groundwork, and then they pounced when the opportunity presented itself. That's the way it's done now. Are they going to get Giannis Antetokounmpo with the 15th pick of the draft? How ridiculous is it that Atlanta got that Milwaukee got that? It's not easy to do. 98.7 ESPN and New York Jets have your chance to meet the 2021 Jets draft class presented by Pepsi. All you have to do, be the first caller right now at 1-888-987-ESPN, and you're going to be invited to an exclusive virtual event this Wednesday, May 26th at 5 p.m., featuring the Jets 2021 rookie draft class, hosted by the radio voice of the Jets, Bob Wischusen, and Jets legend Bart Scott. All brought to you by 98.7 ESPN and presented by Pepsi. So do you think that Wischusen will speak 20 times the words that Zach Wilson will?
Oh, that's a good bet. I like that.
I think they're handling action on that on FanDuel.
Is that true?
Yeah. Now, which way should I go, Peter? I want you to produce the show now.
All right.
We got our good friend Spike in New Jersey hanging there waiting to talk. And then we have Omar in Brooklyn waiting to talk.
Hmm.
Which way do you want the show to spin right now?
You know, can we do both? Can we hit Spike real quick and then go to Omar?
Spike's not a real quick call. Spike clears his throat. It's 3 minutes in, so.
All right, go to Spike. He deserves it. Yes, yesterday was a big deal. So does Omar, but I'll go Spike first.
All right. Spike in New Jersey.
Good afternoon, boys. This was a game, as good a basketball game as I've seen in 5 or 6 years, and we came out on the short end meeting the Knicks. I thought Thibodeau was outcoached by Nate McMillan. I thought Alec Burks had as good a game off the bench as I've seen. My God, and who's the sixth man of the year? Jamal Crawford had some fourth quarter in the playoffs like that. And the problem was, you know, this boys, they didn't review to put more time on at 0.9. They usually go back and look at it. But I did think Tony Brothers, he pulled back and let them play on a little bit. And the last thing. This is what bothered me a lot. I told you this Friday, guys. I said Trae Young is a great penetrator and a great free throw shooter. Tremendous, good as any in the game. Mm-hmm. But he's a 34.3% three-point shooter. Give him the three. He sets up one step in. You know the move. You saw it 20 times yesterday. Then he backs up. And then the double disappears, and he waltzes down the lane like he's with, sorry for the old-time reference, Arthur Murray. Ridiculous. Knock him on his ass. I don't care if he goes to the line 25 times, guys. I don't. Better than that. And Bogdanovich's shot was the game winner, even though technically it wasn't. What do you think?
I agree, and I cannot believe that RJ did not either deflect it out of bounds, where they'd have to reset, or catch it. It somehow went through his hands and actually touched his hands, and then ended right in Bogdanovich's hands, and he's standing behind the three-point line. That was a gigantic, gigantic play in the game. If he doesn't hit that three, we're talking about the Knicks winning today. And now here he is, starring nightly in Brooklyn, Omar.
How are you? Good afternoon, guys.
Oh, he's so calm. Good to hear from you.
It was a great game. But one thing I want to ask you, even my sons have, for the first time, watching a playoff game, Luka texted that, what an atmosphere. This is what New York Knicks bring. I told you the Garden was rolling. How about 50,000? There was all arenas filled up, 70-80% capacity. There is everybody, even the haters were saying that Madison Square Garden was loud. That was I was talking about. That gave me, even we lost that game last night, right? I still believe we are going to win the series. Let's hope. But that, you know where the game was lost? when you have a 9-point lead in the third quarter, and Lou Williams scored 7 straight points, and even everybody, people don't want to talk about Alex Burks as a great fourth quarter, but he was taken to school by Lou Williams, and he was a 0-pointer in the first half. And that point, when you have all the momentum in the third quarter, Julius Hunter has 2 bad possessions, 24-second violation, and 7 straight points by Lou Williams. That's where all the momentum was changed. Even that Bogdanović 3 was a clear. When that type of play happened, when the ball goes to his hand, you already knew. At that time, you had a feeling coming into your, all the negativity was coming. That when Bogdanović hit that three-pointer, all the Knicks knew that it is going, the garden was coming down. Even then, it was hit a jumper. They knew that 9 seconds were remaining. They are not winning that game. Somebody could have scored, because the way Bogdanović scored that three-pointer on 103-100, you were already starting to feel negativity in your brains, all the negativity. And whenever, oh my God, well, I have to say that Spike Lee generates the player that is a superstar, and all that talking that comes in, and the best come out of that player in Madison Square Garden, all that last year, he's happy with the Madison Square Garden, and he was on the field, and Trae Young hit a game-winner jumper, Reggie Miller, Michael Jordan, all the negativity come back. Oh, my God. That was a great game, but the taste that left, I was for 2 hours, me and my son was watching each other, what we have to say, nothing. It just a terrible feeling, and all the negativity comes. I hope, because this is Tom Thibodeau, 2 days in between the preparation, we will be ready for the game too. Let's do it, and we will be ready for that game. And I hope every negativity goes out. But that was a negative finish to that great fan base that was enjoying the game and every minute. And but while Luka texting and everybody else texting, Madison Square Garden and the Knicks were at its best last night. It was amazing to watch the way they were loud. That was an amazing game to watch.
Yeah, wow. It was. I think they played a big role. And, you know, he brings up a good point. Spike's an unbelievable fan. But he becomes a rallying point for players because he's riding them the whole time. Now, if it's not him, it's probably somebody else. But somebody that popular that all the players know, and he's ragging them the whole game, that gives them another reason. Not that they need another reason, but Reggie Miller, that when he made the choke sign, it was to Spike. So
Spike,
I wonder if that
helps. Spike from New Jersey.
What was that?
I said Spike from New Jersey.
No.
You mean Spike Lee. God, all right. Well, there are 2 big spikes here. You know what I'm saying? By the way, there's a secondary poll that needs to happen here, Michael.
What's that?
A lot of people arguing about who they like or hate more between Spike and Omar.
Wow.
Social media seems very split. People who love both and people who hate both. It's almost begging a poll.
Well, how would you word it? Who do you like more?
Yeah, I think it's who do you like more. Who would you rather hear on the show? Who would you rather hear from on the K show? Omar in Brooklyn or Spike in Jersey?
See, but that's not a fair poll because Spike is more nuanced. Now, obviously, the general public that's writing nasty, filthy things to Jordan Yamamoto's wife is going to want to hear Omar. People don't want nuance in their coffee anymore.
How about
run it up the poll, you'll see. Omar will win overwhelmingly. Yeah. I don't think that's fair to our friend Spike.
Well,
how about
be fair.
How about you make the third choice, Michael's a bad guy?
That would win.
But to your point, you know, Reggie Miller became a thing. These were all kids. They grew up with that. So that now that's become a thing. Go to the Garden and see if you can't be a part of forever getting into it with Spike Lee.
Right. Absolutely. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's good. Congratulations to Hayden Santos from Smithtown. He won our Meet the Jets contest. It's really the Meet the Jets and Listen to Bob Schusen contest.
Yeah. Bob! How about all the Jets at the Islander game on Saturday?
Yeah, I saw that. Also, how about you? You're unbelievable. You'll fight with anybody, won't you? So Justin Tuck is at the Nets game, and you take him to task.
Well, I didn't take him to task for
yes,
being at the Nets game.
You said, I thought you were a Knick fan.
Well, no, somebody else said that. And he's like, well, I just want to support New York. Is there anything wrong with that? And I just pointed out, yes, there is.
You couldn't help yourself.
Well, I'm just saying that's what I'm supposed to do, no? He asked the question.
But
I didn't go after him. I didn't see him at the net game. He asked the question. He tweeted out the question. I follow him.
But he didn't ask, hey, Don, is this right? But you had to just jump in.
Well, I just felt like I had to. And I was being prompted by a lot of people out there. So I saw it. I'm like, no, well, listen, is there anything wrong with it? Yes. You're supposed to be a big Knick fan and Ranger fan. He goes to all the Garden games, wears the jerseys into it. And I'm not telling you can't go to a net game. You can go support, you know, whoever you want. But you asked if it was wrong, and yeah, it's wrong. I'm not saying it's illegal to do, but if you're asking if it's wrong, I'm just giving him a gentle nudge to tell him yes. Especially now where they end up playing each other.
He didn't answer you back, did he?
I don't.
So now he's mad at you.
We don't have any kind of relationship other than seeing him at the Garden and maybe a little nod or an occasional interview. I don't even know if he follows me.
But you know one thing, though. Now, Carl Banks is going to attack you because you attacked one of his giant brethren.
I don't know if he would. Did I attack him?
What did you say?
I didn't call him a fraud. People were jumping me, Peter, for not calling him a fraud. I just said, he said, is there anything wrong with that? And I said, pick a team.
Well, hold on.
Playing your flag is what I said, the old Alan Hahn line.
Was he wearing clothing or of any sort?
No. I didn't even know he was there. Okay?
All right.
They showed it on TV if you watched the game.
Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah.
I did not notice. Okay? But I was just minding my own business. I was on Twitter, and somebody, I guess, retweeted him, and he was just asking. He said, I support both teams. Is there anything wrong with that?
And I was
just pointing out to him that there is. Here it was. I'm a Knick fan, but I support New York. Is that okay? And I could tweet it back. Come on, Justin, plant your flag. Pick a team.
He's going to plant this flag right in your forehead. That's what he's going to do.
Wow. Do you really think, Peter, he'd react that way?
I think if we don't go to break, Michael's going to yell.
No, because I'm getting yelled at. You guys just ignore it.
I get yelled at
in my ear.
I just tried to help you, and you're yelling at me now.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying I'm the one getting yelled at. Don't say I'm going to yell at you.
Michael's going to get yelled at.
I am so close to being let go by the station. You don't understand.
Is that true?
Is that what you guys want?
That's a nice tease. I need an example. You can't throw something out like that and not have a specific example why. When we come back on 98.7 ESPN.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, now this is going to be a basketball-heavy day, and we have Stephen A. coming on at 4 o'clock. But if it wasn't the Knicks and the Nets in the playoffs, I honestly believe that we would have opened today with Phil Mickelson and what he did yesterday. We joked about it on Friday if Don would watch. And I got to tell you, my brother and sister, my brother-in-law and sister were over. And I had to step away and just watch the end of that match because that was history in the making. And I made Charlie watch with me as well. That was thrilling. That was thrilling. That's right up there with the performances of Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. And it was all the more impressive. The guy hasn't won in forever. He's 50 years old. And he played like the great player that he is. And I thought it was Peter, I know that you felt the same way. It was exhilarating. This guy's a likable guy who interacts with fans. I mean, they were following like it was the Pied Piper. That was just an exhilarating sports moment. That's how sports keeps you coming back through all the nonsense when something like that happens.
I mean, listen, I was sort of desperate for something interesting to happen late and like there to be some sort of challenge from Koepka or Oosthuizen. And you almost wished that Oosthuizen was in his group and not Koepka. Because, I mean, you would agree, Michael, and I'll get to Phil's being iconic in a moment, but, like, Koepka did nothing particular to make it interesting yesterday. At no point was Koepka
early. He did.
Right, and on
then,
the back,
then he would come with a double bogey.
Yeah, on like from basically the final 12 holes, he never did anything to make you think he was going to take it. Like, he never made that move, whereas Oosthuizen had a couple of putts that, had they fallen, we're looking at something different altogether. But, no, yesterday was special. It was really fun. And it's also interesting, too, because we talk about him being an old man, and, of course, relative to sports, he is old. But you're watching this guy in this glorious moment thinking, we're talking about how old he is, and one day we'll look back at him in this moment when he was still really great, and he's gotten himself in shape. And you didn't get, I forget which hole it was, on like 14 or 15, he drove the ball 330 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still an absolute monster. It was awesome. I would describe it as exactly Tiger adjacent. Like, it was incredible. It was a huge deal. Slightly muted relative to like a Tiger moment where the whole world is watching on Sunday, but I'll be curious to see the ratings, because I didn't turn it off. Basically, I checked on the Wizards game, but I basically didn't turn off the golf yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to be curious about the ratings as well. And I think the difference between this and Tiger, his comeback was made impressive by self-inflicted wounds. Phil just got older and wasn't able to finish a lot of majors. So he was, at the beginning of his career, he was the guy who was just good enough not to win majors, and then he did. He's always had these heartbreaking losses in the U.S. Open, but that was great yesterday. I think this is right up there with Jack Nicklaus, who, you know, that Father Time was coming to get him. I thought that Jim Nance had a good call. Phil Mickelson defeats Father Time, at least he did for now. But I will tell you this, I don't think he, when the history of the world is written, he will not be the oldest player to win a major, because the way nutrition is, the way training is, a 55-year-old is what maybe a 43-year-old used to be in terms of body and where they are. And I think that you could have a 55-year-old win a major. I really do believe that. And I think that Tiger's still lurking if he could get through this and get through these horrific injuries that happened in the car crash. But that was great theater yesterday. It really was. It was like goosebump inducing. I'm not a big golf fan. Everybody knows that. But just to see somebody conquer odds like that, what was it, 300 to 1? He was 300 to 1 to win this.
Yeah, it was incredible.
I loved it. I really did love it.
Now, do you think Tiger was sitting home rooting for his friend Phil, or not wanting him to get the last major between them? Not that it's the last one.
I thought about it. He did tweet out something. It seemed genuine. I bet you he was rooting for him, because I think they've gotten closer as I've gotten older.
He tweeted, "Truly inspirational to see at Phil Mickelson do it again at 50 years of age. Congrats!" Exclamation points. And you know, Tiger is always looking for another reason to motivate himself, and I'm sure this doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, if Tiger could get up and walk again, I mean, these injuries are really serious. I'm sure that this will spur him on, because he always wants to one-up everybody. So we shall see. Don, were you involved at all? All kidding aside, I know you don't love golf, but you do like stories. Were you involved at all?
I was at a party in which I had access to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching double overtime Predators and Hurricanes, and following it on my phone.
Okay. He's honest, if anything, Peter.
Oh, I respect that. How much were you following on the phone?
Well, here's the thing. It was never really in doubt, right? He was between 2-3 stroke lead. You were texting. There was a text chain among the show where you were kind of giving me alerts of what was happening. And I do think that if it had been tighter, I might have been compelled to switch, because it's tough. Listen, hockey's my thing. So as a playoff overtime game, there's no commercials. It's really tough to flip. And I was lucky to get that game on, because it's not my TV. But I can sometimes get fat hands because I'm close enough to the family I was over with. But I probably would have been compelled to switch off if it had been right there, you know, even or something like that. But I was following it at ESPN.com because I don't have a golf app or anything. And it was giving me, you know, the constant updates on what was going on. That's why I knew it was like between 2-3 stroke leads. So, and there were people at the party that were murmurs like, what's going on with Phil? What's going on with Phil? So,
by the way, it was
I was on top of it, but it did not get me to switch off Preds Canes.
Greek tells me it was the 16th. He drove it 366, longest drive on the hole all week.
Yeah, it was a magical moment. And again, I don't think he's going to be the oldest ever. It is going to be surpassed at some point. But what a great moment. What a great moment. And it'd be great if he ends up winning a U.S. Open. Then he finally gets the Grand Slam. The U.S. Open has always, in heartbreaking fashion, eluded him. He's won everything else. And he's not a man of the people. He's richer than all of us or whatever. But he does communicate with fans, and he's not standoffish, which Tiger was for the longest time. And you could see the love. People were just chanting his name all day. It was a neat sports moment.
And the moment, the forever moment, will not be the end. It will be the shot from the sand on the third.
Oh, that made you think something special could happen.
Yeah, and I said to you guys, or I thought after Friday, I didn't think he'd hold it up. Then he makes it through Saturday. And when he had that bogey at the beginning of the back nine, I forget which hole it was, I texted you guys, like, I bet this is where it melts. And he didn't. He did not wilt.
Mets Rockies tonight. Tonight, New York Mets starting lineup brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Jonathan Villar at third. Francisco Lindor at short. Hey, did you see, Don, that Tyler Wade has a higher WAR than Francisco Lindor?
Oh, yeah.
0.3 to 0.2. Anyway, batting, that's not going to last. Batting third, the first baseman, James McCann. Dominic Smith in left field cleaning up. Tomas Nito will catch. He'll bat fifth. Batting sixth, the second baseman, Jose Peraza. Cameron Maybin in right field will bat seventh. Batting eighth, the center fielder, then fielder is Jonashue Fargus. And batting ninth and pitching, David Peterson. I got to tell you, no knock on the Mets. They're in first place. That's not a big league lineup right now.
No, and it's not.
Somehow they're making it happen. Pretty amazing. That's today's Mets starting lineup brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. All right, when we come back, our good friend Stephen A. Smith, he was at the Garden yesterday.
Of course,
so we'll hear from him about that and what it meant to have the Knicks lose that game. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This portion of the Mike K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by the Pepe Auto Group. You can trust Mercedes-Benz of White Plains for the life of your car or van. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Later this hour, we're going to give away Knicks tickets, which we're excited about, for Game 2. And if you were at Game 1, obviously the atmosphere was absolutely electric. Over 15,000 people at the Garden, and a little bit of a letdown because it was a loss to the Atlanta Hawks. And if you came into this series thinking it was going to be a walk, you're wrong. The bottom line is the Knicks and the Nets had the exact, or the Hawks and the Knicks had the exact same record. And the only reason that the Knicks had home court advantage is they beat the Hawks three times in three times. So these are equally matched teams. And I said this before, the Hawks have more individual talent than the Knicks do. The Knicks are more of a team. The Hawks have been a great team since, or a really good team, since Nate McMillan took over. Also, take that into account. If Nate McMillan had been there all 72 games, would they even be tied with the Knicks? And they also took an exponential jump from last year. I think the Knicks won 21 games last year. The Hawks won 20. So they're not a joke. And Trae Young took them to school. And they've got other weapons. Bogdanovich can really play. I was telling somebody earlier today, if the Bucks had gotten Bogdanovich like they really wanted to, boy, the pressure that would take off of Antetokounmpo and Middleton and Drew Holiday. That was the plan for the Bucks. Then they could actually really seriously think about matching up with the Nets, but there was a little bit of a snafu the way it was done, and he became a free agent again, and he ended up with the Atlanta Hawks. And you know what? He's a really good player. Hit that money shot that went through the hands of R.J. Barrett. And then Trae Young gets defended by a guy coming off the bench who's sitting on the bench not for the time of a game, but the time in real life, over an hour. And now you say, okay, get up, Frank Ntilikina, and guard Trae Young. And then he guarded him and didn't guard him going to the right side. He had help if he went to the left, which is the way he should have pushed him. Instead, he had him go to the right, and both of the other Knick defenders had to stay on their man. Otherwise, Trae Young just would have dished to them. So you could complain about that. You could complain about Elfrid Payton. Why is he starting? If you're going to take him out after 4 minutes and not play him the rest of the half, both times. So he's not good enough. He's in a terrible slump. He's simply not good enough. And why are you giving away those 8 minutes each game? What, to prove a point? That doesn't make sense either. Maybe start Ntilikina. Maybe start Rose. Maybe play Quickly more. Quickly didn't seem as if he was unnerved by the enormity of the moment. Neither did Toppin. That's good for the Knicks moving forward, that those two young players showed that under the hottest spotlight, they really didn't wilt. Now, this is the first game the Knicks have played probably all year where expectations were at their highest, because they have been the fun little story. Nobody expected much from them. They outperformed Vegas at 22.5. They ended up with 41 wins. All of that's great. But Knicks fans, and at least I know I do, I want to see them win this series. I want to see them get those games under their belt, go to a second-round series, and if you lose to them, you lose to them. That's okay. That's cool. You've gone much further than anybody thought. And if you want a positive out of last night, everybody, here's the way to look at it. Julius Randle had nothing. R.J. Barrett had nothing. They couldn't shoot from three-point. Nothing. Those are their two go-to guys. The most they got was from Alec Burks and Derrick Rose. And what happened? They lost by two. They lost by two. So we've got to proceed forward going to Wednesday night and go, you know what? Randle has had a great year. He's going to bounce back. He's going to figure it out. That was his first playoff game. Same thing with R.J. Barrett. Same thing with Trae Young. Trae Young seemed like he liked it. Hostile court. He played off of that. The bench outscored the starters for the Knicks, 64-41. Julius Randle with 15 points. R.J. Barrett, not much better. And they lost by two. So that's the glass half full analysis of what happened last night at the Garden. I wouldn't be down about it, but you definitely want to win game two on Wednesday. Then you got yourself a best of five series. So I think the Knicks could play with this team. This team outplayed the Knicks yesterday. The Knicks' best players did not play well. And you know what? They lost by two. Keep repeating that to yourself. They lost by just two.
That's it. That's all you got to say is that everything kind of broke against them. There's a lot of things to be down about, including the performance of Julius Randle, and you lost on a jumper, you know, a floater with 0.9 seconds to go, right? And you know how good this team's been in overtime, so if that shot doesn't go, you know, who knows what ends up happening, right? So you can't – listen, a loss is a loss, but we're not talking about a team that didn't belong. We're not talking about a team that's got to make huge adjustments. You know, the Lakers lost a game that they were favored to win. They lost by nine. You know, you lost by two. So I think you got to feel good about that. Now, if you look around the NBA playoffs, the best players have been the best players, and that's what the Knicks have to have. You know, Julius Randle's got to wake up. He's got to perform better. I don't think they can survive him not playing well. They can't. They're not a great offensive team to begin with, but if he's only going to give you 15, Michael, that's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So the best players, you know, Trae Young was the best player. He had a tremendous night up and down the court, and he was the better player, and that's why they won by two. And I could totally see on Wednesday Randle being the best player and them winning by two and even in the series. So you seem a little bit more optimistic than me. I don't see a scenario of them winning this series if they lose on Wednesday, because I think that would just be too tough to win four out of five and then three of those games being in Atlanta. But either way, I think you'd still agree that'd be a tough spot for them.
Oh, yeah.
Because now not just did you lose an isolated game, you couple it with the first game. Like, what's wrong? Why can't they seem to win in the playoffs? It then begins to build, right? And the pressure gets to be almost insurmountable. But, Peter, I think they're going to be fine, but they just need their best players to be their best players. And that was not the case last night at all.
Randle and R.J. Barrett were combined 12 from 38 from the floor, 3 for 12 from 3. I think they both were one for two from the free throw line. So we talked about this earlier, too. Stephen A. talked about this. Randle also has to make sure that even if his shot's not working and he's not feeling it, he still finds a way to make an impact, that he gets to the free throw line and still manages to produce from this team, because your best player is going to have off nights. But I'm sort of split on this in terms of, I do feel optimistic that they did not play well and they still were in the game. But while we talk about how bad their two best players were, don't forget they got 28 points from Burks out of nowhere too.
Right.
So they did gain in an area they didn't plan on gaining. The bottom line is this. This is going to be a borderline dead even series. And last night, the best player won this game for Atlanta. I worry that in a clutch moment, they don't have a solution for Trae Young. Like, Michael, you made the point. They set up the defense correctly. He was still able to do what he wanted to do. A big possession a couple plays before that. He takes it left, going to the rack, ends up getting fouled. I believe by Ntilikina. I forget who committed the foul.
No, Ntilikina wasn't in at that point. But, yeah, it was not Ntilikina.
But he is very tough to stop off the dribble.
And that's what the – and we've been saying this all year, Peter. That's what the Knicks don't have. As great as Randall is, they don't have a guy that could really take you off the dribble and score when he has to score. That's the one thing this team is missing. Randall's been great, but is he going to, like, break you down off the dribble, cross over, break your ankles? No, that's not the type of player he is. Trae Young did that to a great defender who obviously was cold coming off the bench in Frank Ntilikina. They've got to slow Trae Young down. So that's the key that we took out of yesterday. And, you know, he was 3 rebounds away, Trae Young, from having a triple-double. That's how good a game he had. Now let's move to Saturday in Brooklyn.
But real quick, last thing on that, though, by the way, though, I do want to say to look for something to try to do. Did you notice, though, when R.J. Barrett late in the game got a matchup that he wanted where Young got stuck on R.J., he took him right to the hole and scored.
Yeah, and the place exploded.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to find a way to exploit matchups when you get them, but R.J. wasn't able to do that enough.
Now, in terms of the Nets and the Celtics, the Nets gave the Celtics every opportunity to win that game. They came out. They didn't seem right. I think they were 1-for-10 from the 3-point stripe in the first half. Celtics led at the quarter. They led at the half. The Nets never even bugged out, ever. They know how good they are. And you could see they were a little discombobulated at the beginning. That's the first time that group had played together. Harris, Griffin, and the big three. And it looked like it. But they never panicked. They played better defense when they had to. And if the Celtics couldn't win that game, I do wonder how they can beat this Net team. This Net team is going to find its way, get better and better. One thing I take out of that game, I wonder if Peter agrees, the guy that was a problem for them was Robert Williams III. And the Nets don't have great answers for size. And he intimidated them defensively. He didn't do much offensively. He had 9 blocks. And that's going to be interesting to see how they counter that. Also, it also showed that Brad Stevens took advantage of Blake Griffin's defense to the point that Steve Nash, who I thought had a very good game for a first-time head coach in the playoffs, he had to take Griffin out. Griffin didn't play, I believe, the whole fourth quarter because, I'm sorry, he's going to have trouble stopping bigger guys at that position. And the better the competition gets, and the competition will get better than the Celtics, that's going to be an issue. We told you all year the bigs defensively are going to be an issue. So they had to take him out. They couldn't keep Blake Griffin in there, which takes a little bit of the offensive firepower away, but they have answers. They use Claxton a lot. I get that. But Blake Griffin became a non-player because the Celtics just broke him down defensively.
Yeah, 1 point. No field goal attempts for Blake Griffin. And Don, Robert Williams almost got the stat you love. Almost got the triple-double with blocks.
Right.
11, 9, and 9. The one other thing, Michael, I agree with all that, and it was frustrating because to see how the Celtics started and to see how close it was more than midway through the fourth and then to sort of get blown out that way was kind of crushing. The one thing you hope for is that Tatum was 6-for-20 from the floor, scored 22 points. If they had played the same game, but Tatum was 11-for-20 from the floor, could they have won that game? I don't know. I sort of hear what Stephen A. is saying, that no matter what you do, sort of seems like when Brooklyn wants to turn it on, there's nothing you can do. The Celtics did get me interested, and for a moment I started having that thing like, well, what if we steal game one?
Right.
Then what?
But that was a game to steal, Peter.
And then they closed it out so quickly, and you just worry that they're just getting warmed up. They're just going to start gelling by the time they get to the next round.
Let's take some phone calls. Let's go to John in Chester. John?
Hey, Michael. How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
First of all, I think you guys should definitely have a 4:15 to 4:45 early bird special for callers 70 and older. bring Morty back.
Yeah.
Well, as far as the Knicks, the Suns were actually 2.5-point favorites in game one against the Lakers, whereas the Knicks were favorites in this game, but the Lakers were favorites in the series and the Hawks are favorites in the series. So as far as Vegas goes, I think this is a much larger black cloud than we're really letting on.
Mm-hmm.
And without Julius Randle's performance, Burks never would have gone off for that much in the fourth quarter. So just saying if Randle had that much of a better game, I don't see that just portending right to a victory.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but if R.J. Barrett and Randle had the games that they're supposed to have, then Burks would not have had the opportunity to have that many points. But even if Julius Randle had gone off, Burks could have taken over the slack for what R.J. Barrett didn't do. So I believe that if Julius Randle had his 30 points that he averaged against the Hawks, even if you take points away from Burks, yeah, Burks wouldn't have had the fourth quarter that he had. But I think everything else breaks down, because if Julius is hitting the shots at the rate that he did during the year, everything else opens up, and he's a very generous distributor of the basketball. So everything else would open up. I think the Knicks would have run away with the game. I really do. Now, to say that we're sure that Julius is going to bounce back, just like Peter said, you know, with Tatum, maybe Tatum had a bad game because the Nets played him well. Maybe Julius Randle didn't have a good game because the Atlanta Hawks came up with a really good game plan. And that's up to Thibodeau now to study on film and see if they could change it.
Michael, if that's what you're going to get from Randle, they're losing the series.
Yes, they might get swept.
So you got to hope. And I would think that the whole season was not a fluke. But if he's caught up in the playoffs, or he's now, there's enough film on him where good coaches are going to be able to break him down, then there's no shot. But I'm going to bank on him being better. Because, again, if they got blown out, Michael, it's a different story. He was the difference. If he gets 20 instead of 15, they probably win that game. We're having a much different conversation. So he has to be better. He just has to be. And I would bet that he will.
Let's go to Eli in Rockaway. Eli.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Hey, just want to talk about Frank Ntilikina. Drafted in 2017, first round, 8th overall, and to me, has shown zero improvement year after year. Guys, let me tell you, this guy has the biggest fan base I've ever seen who will defend him to the end of the earth. And that includes New York Knicks social media, who rather post about his new braids and his new outfit than the 6-game win streak we were on back then. I'm asking, when is it time to move on, especially after last night's loss?
Well, I wouldn't put last night's loss on him. I think he was put into an untenable situation off the bench to guard a guy who was red hot. That right. just wasn't a good move. But time's running short on Knox, on him. They've had those draft picks were terrible by Phil. Awful. And I don't even think Knox was a Phil one. That was the next administration. That was Steve Mills, I believe. But, yeah, they've been terrible. Frank Ntilikina was a terrible draft pick. And although he's a good defensive player, which might keep him around, I think that on a really good team, he could come off the bench and be a defensive specialist. I don't think he's going to start in the NBA and be a great player. Maybe he could start in the NBA on a bad team. Maybe. I don't see it. He has not improved. And, you know, also, Thibodeau's trying to win games. He's trying to develop and win. So his key is to develop quickly and Toppin, not to develop the other guys' young players.
Right.
No, Frank Ntilikina has been a huge disappointment. You know what we're creeping up on, don't you know, Peter? You know, right?
Creeping up?
Yeah.
ENN, 6 o'clock?
No. You know, that's an every
Another game. Don show?
No. Well, Don has the Islander pregame at 6:30.
That's right.
But that's not what we're creeping up on. Creeping up on June 15th. The release of my fine book, Center Stage.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, if you'd like to start ordering... Early orders, that really helps with the bestseller list, because that's my key. I want to be a best-selling author. I'm saying it right now.
Put it out in the universe. I think you will be.
You think?
I do.
I want to get on that New York Times list so you can order from Amazon right now, wherever you get your books. And if you ever see me, I will gladly autograph it for you.
I'm doing it right now.
You're ordering?
Right now, yeah.
But I'm sending you a copy. I'm sending you and Peter a copy.
Yeah, but how are you supposed to get on the bestseller list if I don't buy it?
But that's really nice of you.
Well, here it is. The most
where'd you go? Amazon?
If From A-Rod to Jay-Z. Yeah, because I'm a Prime member, so everything's already there.
This is such a good friend.
Hardcover, it's the only way to go.
Yeah.
I thought I already ordered it. I didn't order it yet.
And we need these early orders.
Pre-order?
You know, that's key. The pre-orders are big.
My friend Sam Roberts from Sirius XM, he already got his in the mail. He didn't even order it.
Well, I mean, they are sending out advanced copies for review and, you know, people are going to interview me.
Well, no one wanted to book you on Hot 97?
Nobody asked.
Well, that's not how PR works. No one reached out. We would have booked you
in
a heartbeat.
Maybe they didn't think that, you know, the Hot 97 audience would dig the Kaster.
Please. That's ridiculous.
Well, all you have to do is say, Michael, would you get up at, you know, 7 in the morning and do it? And I say, sure.
No, and by the way, we don't do that to guests. We record our interviews after 9 o'clock.
Sounds even better.
See?
Wow. All right, we're giving away Nick tickets. So stay tuned for that. Not yet, not just yet, but sometime in this hour. Stay tuned. 1-800-919-3776. Big show on till 6:30. Then Don takes over with the Islander pregame. The man who never stops working. And what a friend. He just ordered a book.
I'm doing it now, yeah. Done.
Guy. I'm going to give you the money back.
Oh, my producer just texted me. I'll book K.
Love it.
Send me your...
There's a lot of interviews that would really interest the Hot 97 audience. It's not just sports.
Of course.
Entertainment. You want to hear about Larry David.
You want to hear about Jay-Z.
That too.
What other rappers are in the book? Anyone else?
I don't think that Ice-T made it.
That hurts Don.
Zumo and Freelord and Stovetop Cooks.
Now, I think I have... Listen, the order's been placed. But Bobby made it, right?
Bobby Orr?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And so did Mike Tyson.
Of course.
Oh, Snoop Dogg's on there.
There you go.
I follow the author now, it tells me. But I follow you anyway.
There you go. Anyway, we'll take a brief time out. Towel off, shower off. Order if you want. That would be cool. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. Nick tickets coming up as well right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.